In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. I thank the organisers for inviting me to take part in this day for Mary. I've done so in the past a few times, and it's always a matter of great importance, and I'm edified by the number of people who attend and try to deepen their spiritual lives. We've just had a procession of the Blessed Eucharist around the church, singing hymns, expressing your love for Jesus who comes to us under the appearances of bread and wine. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to go back to the Bible, as we all must when it comes to matters of faith, because the Bible, the Old Testament, is fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus. So to understand the mysteries of our faith, we go back to Christ. But going back to Christ, we must go even further back and see that what he said and what he did was fulfilling the Old Testament, so that the people he spoke to, who knew the Old Testament, wasn't called the Old Testament then, the Holy Scriptures, would know that Jesus was speaking with the authority of the Messiah, of the one they were expecting. Some accepted him, some did not. When we think of the Eucharist, we can think of the processions of the Eucharist. We can think about receiving Holy Communion when you were sick at home or on your deathbed, Viaticum. We can think of Jesus present in the tabernacle. We can think of adoration, where the host is exposed for us to adore Jesus. There are many, many facets of the Eucharist, but the central one is the Mass. That's the most important one. We could call it, by a biblical name, call it the Last Supper, for so indeed it is. That was the first Mass, the Last Supper. So I want to go back a little bit into that, just to help us understand the Mass as well as we can. We love the Mass. People have died for the privilege of attending Mass. Priests have died for the urgent necessity of providing Mass in times of persecution. The Mass is central to our lives. There are two aspects to the Mass that I want to talk about today. When we think of the Mass, there is the preparation, the penitential rite, when we express our sins and ask that we be worthy to enter into the sacred mysteries. There are the readings from Holy Scripture, which give us the Word of God written in the pages of the Bible. That's for our spiritual nourishment, our growth, our formation, and we should listen. But then we get to the great Eucharistic prayer. It is there that we capture the essence of the Mass. Because in the Eucharistic prayer, there are two themes. It was all to the glory and worship of God, of course. That's the overriding theme. But the two themes are Jesus as sacrifice and Jesus as food. The two are there all the time, and they go back to the Bible. When Jesus is explaining what he wanted the people to do in memory of himself, he used those two themes. On one occasion, he was talking about manna in the desert. It was after he had fed the 5,000. with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, I am the bread of life. On another occasion he said, I will give you food which, if you eat, you will have eternal life. You will not die. He spoke of the manna in the desert. The manna, as you know, was given by God in the time when the chosen people, the Hebrews, were in the desert, in the Sinai desert there for 40 years, moving around and moving forward, backwards, going back to the mountain of Sinai. And Moses was the principal figure during all that time, and his brother Aaron, but Moses. And one occasion they ran out of food. There was nothing around in the desert, and they began to grumble. They said, oh, take us back to Egypt. We were slaves, but at least we could eat. So God told Moses that he would give them food. And they found every morning the manna over the deserts. The manna was a light, fluffy substance, white, that just covered the ground. They could gather it up, and it was edible, and it would give them enough nourishment for one day. They couldn't preserve it. It was gone after one day. And it would come the next day, until they found other sources of food. It was called manna. And Jesus said, God gave your ancestors manna in the desert, but they are dead. He said, I will give you a manna. I will give you food. If you eat it, you will not die. You will live, you will have eternal life. He wasn't referring to physical death. He was referring to life beyond death, life with God, life with his Father forever. That was the manna that he was going to give the people. And in the last few Sundays, we've heard about that in the gospel readings. And we know now, looking back, that he was referring to his body and blood under the appearances of bread and wine. Now that theme of Jesus being the food for our journey through life is there in the Eucharistic prayer. There are four of them in constant use. There are others, but they all have those central themes. The other theme is sacrifice, and it's connected with eating. Sacrifices were very, very common among the Jews. They were a way of showing that God was supreme, that they depended absolutely on God, the one true God. The neighboring tribes believed in many gods, gods in the sky, gods in the trees, and terrible gods like Baal that demanded human sacrifice. The Jews, the Hebrews, believed in the one God and the one true God. And they formed this covenant with God, that God would be faithful to them and provide for them if they were faithful to God. Many of the sacrifices were eaten. Remember the Passover, when the people were still in slavery in Egypt. Moses told them to get ready. They were to escape Pharaoh, and they were to sacrifice a lamb, and they were to roast the lamb and eat it and sprinkle the blood on their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass by and not take the life of the firstborn, as the angel of death did to the other houses without the blood. They had to eat the lamb. That was part of their home sacrifice to God. Sacrifices were done at home there then, because there was no, thank you, there was no temple, excuse me. Later on, when David wanted to have a temple, but it was Solomon who finally built the temple, all the sacrifices then were centered on the temple. But this is long before then. So they're out in the desert, and they would build altars and have sacrifices, and many times they would eat the sacrifice. Had to be a pure, unblemished lamb that was eaten, so that they would be full of the symbol of their worship of God. What did St. John the Baptist call Jesus when he saw him? As he came to the River Jordan to be baptized, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Why is Jesus the Lamb of God? Because he himself offered himself as a sacrifice to his Father on the cross. He is the Lamb of God, fulfilling and completing all those sacrifices of the Old Testament. They weren't necessary anymore because we had the sacrifice that could make up for all the sins of the world, and the sacrifices of the Old Testament could not. So Jesus was the Lamb of God. And when he told the people, "I will give you this food. My food is my flesh. Eat my body, drink my blood, and you will have life." They didn't want to hear it. It was too harsh. They couldn't understand it. Impossible. What's it all about? It was only the apostles said, "Lord, you have the word of life. Word of eternal life. We don't understand what you're saying, but we believe you, and it will be possible." And we now, looking back, see how it was possible. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, took the chalice of wine, said, "This is my body that will be offered. This is the chalice of my blood that will be poured out for you," talking about his sacrifice of his whole self, but also saying that "I am present underneath the appearances of bread and wine." And that is how we can now participate in the sacrifice of Jesus by eating the Lamb, by receiving Holy Communion where the Lamb of God is present under the appearances of bread and wine. So when you listen to the Eucharistic prayer and hear all the prayers of the people, they're our prayers that the priest gathers together, as it were, and in the name of Jesus offers them to his Father. When we hear those words, we think, yes, Jesus is my manna. He is the bread of life. He is my food for my journey through life. Yes, he is the one who sacrificed himself to the Father, because he gave himself completely, body and blood, for me and for my salvation. Those two themes are close together, and they are there every time we go to Mass. Once we receive Holy Communion, what do we do? Well, first, every time we receive Holy Communion, we shouldn't just form a habit of thinking about all sorts of things because we've made our communion many times. No, we bring our minds to be conscious of what we are doing. We are receiving the body and blood of Jesus. We are receiving Jesus, the sacrifice. We are receiving Jesus, the bread of life. And then we become much closer to our Lord than before. We see our sins much more clearly and are sorry for them. We strive to do better. That food of life is there for day after day after day of our ordinary life, whatever we're doing. It gives us that inner strength, that nourishment that ordinary food gives us as well. We need to be conscious of that. We need to be conscious also that Jesus wants to give himself to the whole world. not just to you and me who have the gift of faith, but to the whole world. So the way we live, the way we talk, should be good news to others. And we need to look for occasions when we can speak about our faith and our belief and say, yes, I do believe that Jesus comes to me. I do believe that he's my strength now as I go around my work and my recreation and all the things that I do. He's with me all the time. Because often people get into conversation about religion, and the world is a harsh place at the moment for people who believe. But we can give witness. We can say what we believe. We don't have to shout it at people, tell them they're wrong. We just simply say, this is what I believe. And the Holy Spirit will take our example, our witness, and touch many, many hearts. You won't know, perhaps, whose hearts are touched. But many people have come to me, and probably to you, and said, I came to the faith because of the example of a good person who began to tell me why he or why she believed. And I thought, I need that. And I began searching. Those things happen out there through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us remember the reverence and the love which should accompany us when we receive Holy Communion and when we go to Mass, listening to the words of the Eucharistic prayer. And then be willing, be courageous, out there in the hostile world, when the occasion arises, to speak of our faith, because we don't know how strong the Holy Spirit will make those words of ours and touch the hearts of others. Jesus is the life of the world, and we who are fortunate enough to know that must not keep it to ourselves, but to offer it also to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.